This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purzel. Local food and local gardening today on Cincinnati Edition. A little later, some folks from Edible Ohio Valley magazine will be in the studio to share news about this weekend's Ohio Valley Green Market, a celebration of community and sustainability. But first, on the phone is the founder of the Organic Gardener Limited, who's designed and cultivated many gardens and farms in and around Chicago and has shown that it's never been easier to grow your own vegetables, no matter where you live. Her new book is called From the Ground Up, A Food Grower's Education in Life, Love, and the Movement That's Changing the Nation. Jean Nolan, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here with you.
Now, your new book, From the Ground Up, I was very surprised, as I think I saw one quote go flying across my computer screen about how a book that's a memoir was such a book and such a story. I couldn't put it down, and really it is. It's part memoir, part how-to, and part manifesto. Why did you and what planted the seed in you to bring this book to life at this time?
I had a small article in Shape magazine, not for my shape, but it was in 2007, and I was going on and on about the fact that I really thought the Obamas should put a garden on the White House lawn, that I thought it was just what our country needed to focus on the hopefulness that growing food offers on so many levels. And that article got a lot of attention, and of course the Obamas went on to do that garden. I don't think because I said so, but I was shouting for it.
Oh, take credit for it. Go ahead. Take credit for it, Jean.
I was one of many shouting for it. But a lot of people, the response was, you should write a book. We want to hear more from you. And then Alice Waters, who some of you may know from Berkeley, California, she's a restaurateur and spearhead of the school gardening movement as well. She also said to me, you really need to write a book, and offered to write the foreword. So those two forces I couldn't deny.
Well, you're quite an education that you've shared in your book From the Ground Up, a lot about your life, but I learned just as much about the gardening, and we'll talk more about the gardening and let folks ask you questions here in just a bit. But going back to your story, you had tried to escape life there in the North Shore of Chicago, went to work on a communal farm, learned to grow organically there, even though you didn't know what organic was. I read it was, a trip to Arizona where you happened to be in a bookstore and asked, what is organic, right?
Absolutely. And, at that time, I was 18. It was 1987. So that was, at that time, Whole Foods was, one or two little dinky stores in Texas. The organic movement was not what it is now at that time. And I was full of angst and wanting to change the world, about issues like deforestation and species extinction and those kinds of things. But when I learned what organic food was, it was like a light bulb went off in my head. You mean all the food I've ever eaten my whole life was grown with chemicals? It was just mind-blowing to me. And all of my passion, as a young environmentalist, sort of all of a sudden had a place to go. Oh, I could focus it on food. I could learn to grow food that would be no chemicals, clean, organic, and that's what I knew I wanted to do. So that's sort of how it went.
Well, the book begins with you coming home after escaping what turned out to be a somewhat oppressive situation at the communal farm, a little too much control happening. You were a mother with a young daughter, and you came home to that place you were trying to escape. And throughout the book, you share this part of your life, and it seems to be a bit painful. Was it difficult to bring that pain to the page?
It was difficult, definitely. It was also phenomenally therapeutic for me to go through the process of trying to understand my life, the decisions I had made, the pain I had caused others, myself, in searching for myself, of course, but to try to put it on paper really was very good for me to sort of, you know, sweep under the rugs of my life, or, you know, things I might have brushed under there. I sort of lifted up the rug. Well, what was that really? What really happened then? And sort of shed light on it. So it was. It's been a great experience. Difficult, yes, but yes. But overall, I feel, you know, so lucky to have had this opportunity to get my story out there.
Jean Nolan is the author of From the Ground Up, A Food Grower's Education in Life, Love, and the Movement That's Changing the Nation. She's the founder of the Organic Gardener Limited and also a blogger, writes Grow Your Own, a weekly blog on Babbel.com. Talking about Organic Gardener, are you an organic gardener? But what successes have you had? What problems have you faced? You can let us know by calling 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org. Post a question on Facebook or tweet us at 917-WVXU. And I wanted to begin with a few definitions, Jean, because I think that is part of what is confusing to many folks, because it's so almost ubiquitous these days to see the word organic. Please define organic and sustainability, if you would.
Sure. So, what organic means to me is, in the simplest of terms, you know, food grown without chemicals, without the use of synthetic fertilizer, herbicide, weed killer, or pesticide, bug killer. Now, in shopping for organic, there is a certification that food can be given, USDA certified organic. That means it's following the, you know, government rules laid out to define organic. But it must be known that there are many farmers who grow organically and some who even feel that the USDA standards are not high enough or they don't want to go through that process. So they may still be growing organic food, but not necessarily have that certification. And that's where I just have my no chemical sort of, that's what it means. Sustainable, you know, has to do with this concept of taking care of the earth and treating it in a way that will ensure that, you know, the soil and the plants and animals around a farm and will continue to thrive even when food is being grown there. There are certifications that lay out the specifics of it, but those are kind of the concepts of those two things.
So you came home from the communal farm having learned organic farming and still seemingly searching for yourself, and you found it right in your backyard where you had left 17 years earlier, and you started a garden there, and that was really eye-opening, you reveal in the book.
It really was. You know, I was at a real low point in my life, you know, really questioning what had I been doing all those 17 years on the commune, thinking I was changing the world, realizing that, you know, I was just totally lost. I was 35 years old in my parents' house, a single mom with a 2-year-old daughter. And, you know, my mom said, why don't you put a garden in the backyard? And it was the best thing I ever did. You know, I ended up starting my business from that garden and, you know, entering the green urban farming movement in Chicago, which was really thriving in 2004 at that point, and, you know, turned a whole new page in my life. And it was a great transformation and amazing to come home and feel like, oh, now I'm really making the difference that I always wanted to be making.
I found it somewhat amusing in the book as you were talking about that first garden after you talked about working at Zendik Farm, the communal farm you'd been living at and traveling with for some years, that you realized you knew a little, but you didn't know a lot. So you still had a lot of learning to do even at that point.
Absolutely. And, I mean, one of the big changes for me was I was used to growing 300 tomato plants. Well, I was in a little backyard garden that could fit about 6 tomato plants. So that was a big change for me, a change of scale. And I was in a different climate. So I had farmed with the commune outside of Austin, Texas, in Southern California, in the high desert, on the Mexican border, and outside of Asheville, North Carolina. So the climate here in Chicago is different, and I had to learn about that. But I think also, and I hope other gardeners, farmers will relate to this, it's something I love about growing food and being a gardener. There's always something new to learn, and there's always somebody to learn it from, and that is part of the joy of doing it. You know, I never feel like, oh, I got this under my belt. I know just how to do that. You know, there's always something new.
Well, Jean, you have started your own business, the Organic Gardener Limited, and it all started with that one garden in your parents' backyard and has grown exponentially since then. And you've designed and cultivated hundreds of food gardens in and around Chicago and really bringing that urban farming to light. We'll touch on the best and most impactful reasons to grow your own food and have your own food and a garden close to where you live.
Sure, sure. You know, there are so many benefits from growing food. I mean, the most sort of obvious to all of us is homegrown, fresh-picked food tastes delicious, and it is more nutrient-dense. But when you go deeper than that, you find, you know, in researching for the book, found a lot of data. So growing food is a wonderful way to reduce your carbon footprint. So with the concern with climate change, you reduce the food miles that the food has to travel to get to your plate. When you prepare soil well, it becomes a carbon sink. It actually absorbs carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. People who grow vegetables tend to eat less meat. Meat is the most greenhouse gas-emitting food that we consume. So growing a food garden is great in that way. Closer to home, kids who grow vegetables eat more vegetables. That's been proven now in several different studies. And so many of us moms, I get a lot of calls from moms who say, my kids eat like five foods, you know, hot dogs, chicken fingers, french fries, pizza, and mac and cheese. And these moms are looking to broaden what their kids will eat. And when kids participate in growing food, it's a different story. They're much more willing to try it. And it's yummier. So it's a great inroad for parents. And another aspect is I think all of us acknowledge we're living in this fast-paced, technologically driven world. You know, iPhone, iPad, I. And, you know, I have two daughters. I want them to be computer literate. I want them to be savvy. But I want them to know how to connect to nature, to understand that we are in a reciprocal relationship here with the planet. And when we, you know, tend and take stewardship for a plot of land, it feeds us. And there are just so many profound lessons within that experience for all of us, really.
I'm Mark Purzel, and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The second annual Ohio Valley Green Market is coming up this weekend. You'll learn more in about 20 minutes on Cincinnati Edition. Right now, I'm talking with Jean Nolan, author of From the Ground Up, A Food Grower's Education in Life, Love, and the Movement That's Changing the Nation, discussing organic gardening and sustainability. You can ask Jean a question about your garden or pass along a tip by calling 419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. And it was announced today by the Great Miami Valley YMCA and the YMCA of Greater Cincinnati that they are partnering with Chipotle Mexican Grill to help create 5 learning gardens throughout the region. The gardens will educate more than 1,500 YMCA children about the importance of the environment as well as the benefits of sustainable, unprocessed foods. And Jean, I know that's a lot of the work that you have done and are doing in Chicago is that urban gardening, that really showing that you can basically grow food just about anywhere. And talk a little bit about your work there in Chicago, how it started and where it's come to today.
Sure. So the first urban farming project I was involved with is still going strong in its 9th season, and it is located in Lincoln Park Zoo, which is our wonderful free zoo here in Chicago. And there's a farm in that zoo, and in the middle of the farm, my team and I operate a 5,000-square-foot, which is about a tenth of an acre, little urban farm there. And it's a teaching garden for kids. Lots of kids come with their schools on organized field trips to visit the garden. And also we teach adult workshops to teach people how to grow food right there in the city. We have college students who are taking classes in urban agriculture and food systems visit the garden. And it's a big demonstration of how right in the middle of the city you can grow just about anything.
Well, you say there's only basically five things you need to grow food anywhere: sunlight, soil, paths, irrigation, and fencing. Is that as important in the city as it is in the country?
You know, surprisingly, it is. So in our garden in Lincoln Park Zoo, we initially had a 3-foot-high fence. Well, unbeknownst to us, there are very talented rabbits in Lincoln Park Zoo climbing our 3-foot fence. We literally saw them climb it. We now have a 4-foot-high rabbit-proof fence in the middle of the city. So just because you're in an urban environment doesn't mean you're away from the critters.
Right. Well, I have a question from Peyton in Batavia, who says, as an organic gardener, my biggest obstacle is weeds. And you mentioned that right in the first page of your book, From the Ground Up, how when you're starting that thing, weeds are really the bane. You know, there's all these great petroleum-based and chemical things used to wipe away weeds, but you don't want them where your food is growing. And that what do you suggest for folks to battle weeds in their organic garden?
Right. So, I mean, the two primary things I suggest are, number one, really preparing your soil well, adding a lot of compost in there, and laying the foundation of a healthy garden. Number two, and this is not what everybody wants to hear, but it's really consistently pulling the weeds out and never letting them get established. So, you know, hand-picking them, hoeing them, removing them, roots and all, from the start of the season. Weeds are particularly smart. They grow very quickly, and their mission is to reproduce, and reproduce quickly, and often, you know, that means producing seed that then falls and multiplies them by the thousands. And they can do that, you know, 3-4 times in a year, they can produce a new batch of seed. So if you're on top of it consistently and you never let them get established, you'll find that each year you have less and less weeds. Now, sometimes it's just too much. We take care of some gardens that are large, and we can't always stay on top of it to that extent. In that case, we bring in a barrier layer. So we bring in straw. That is a mulch, and we lay that very thick over the soil, and it does a great job of keeping the weeds down.
419-7100 or talk at wvxu.org with your questions or comments for Gene Nolan, author of From the Ground Up and blogger of the weekly blog Grow Your Own. John from Mason County, Kentucky on the phone. Good afternoon, John.
Hi, good afternoon. Gene?
Hi there.
Hi. Just a word of praise. I would like to, thank you for your encouragement of talking about organic gardening. And to any listeners, myself, I've been doing it for 7 years, and I grow enough food to feed 4 people, adults, in 2 raised bed gardens that basically measure about 25 square feet each.
Wow.
And fantastic. All I use is compost and alfalfa hay and just let the plants be. I never till or anything, just keep composting. It's been a very spiritual journey.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And I love working with alfalfa hay. I think that just makes the best soil. I miss it. You know, I use that in all my years farming, but it's not so easy to get hold of, so I'm stuck with wheat straw here. But I'm craving some alfalfa.
Yes, I don't blame you.
Well, thank
but
you.
For other listeners, I'd like to also comment that, again, just from a personal perspective, my journey into organic gardening has really given me a greater appreciation for our planet and our agricultural method. And the other things that do damage the environment, and it just made me more sensitive to it. And in that, there's some good. So anyway, I'm rambling, but I just wanted to thank you for talking about organic gardening.
Well, thank you.
I would encourage others to get into it.
Well, thank you, John. Appreciate your comments here on Cincinnati Edition. You can add your comments or questions, 513-419-7100. And well, we kind of touched on it talking about weeds, Gene. You mentioned in your book you don't really need a huge garden to grow enough food for your family. As John was saying, what, two beds of about 25 square feet?
Absolutely. It doesn't need a lot of square footage when you use a lot of compost and prepare the soil well. You can plant your crops very close together. It's a method called French intensive gardening, and it really works well and is very, very productive.
You obviously, well, maybe not obviously, Gene, but I'm guessing that you're a list person because your appendix is a bunch of lists for different tips. You had 10 lists of 10 essentials for every aspiring gardener. And was this just a way for you to share what you've learned along the way?
Yes, it was. And yes, I am a list person. A day doesn't go by when I'm not operating from a list. It's how I do life. But also, you know, the message that I'm really wanting to share is that everyone, everywhere can grow their own food, just about. And it's doable. It's not rocket science. So the idea of creating these 10 lists was I wanted to make the information, I wanted to boil it down to its essentials so that it would be accessible, easy to understand, easy to do. So that's how the 10 lists were born.
We're talking to Gene Nolan, the writer and blogger, author of From the Ground Up, A Food Grower's Education in Life, Love, and the Movement That's Changing the Nation. You can call us at 513-419-7100. And, well, you've started many, many gardens there in an urban area, and we have many urban areas here that we are dealing with, including Clifton, a very urban area with folks who are very much into organic gardening, and that's where John Paul is calling. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I have been starting a couple of raised beds in the abandoned lot next to my apartment. But mostly all I've been growing are peppers and tomatoes. And I was hoping to get some, since I have a very limited area, I was hoping to get some suggestions for other vegetables that I could grow in the same vicinity, maybe underneath those plants, so I could maximize the space that I have.
Yeah, that's great thinking. And, you know, peppers typically grow to, depending how healthy yours are, somewhere between 2 and 4 feet. And tomatoes can end up growing, you know, 5+ feet tall. So you do have low. And I think great options for that, and I think you're still okay to plant these things in your area, would be lettuce, spinach, the greens, you know, mizuna, arugula. All of that's going to do real well down there. You could certainly do some radishes. I'm not sure if you're too late there, but beans, bush beans, are a great choice. You know, they typically grow to about 2 feet in height. So those are some ideas. I also carrots are a great thing to grow at the base of tomatoes. Carrots attract some beneficial insects and help the tomatoes grow well. So they're called companions, carrots and tomatoes. So that's a few ideas for you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John Paul.
Good luck with your project.
Another caller from Clifton, Brad on the phone, question for Gene Nolan. Thank you for holding on there, Brad. Let me see if I can make it come on right. All right, Brad, you're on the air. Hello, Brad? I think we lost Brad. Sorry about that. Bob from Anderson, asking about not only urban gardening, Gene, but here in Cincinnati, we're known for our hills, so we are looking for, you know, answers about, well, mm-hmm. how do you garden on a hill, basically?
Very good.
Hold on a minute. Sorry, having a... We'll try this again. Hello, Brad, you there? Oh, I'm sorry. We seem to have lost that.
Answer a hill question for you if you'd like me to.
Yes, please do. I mean, because we are faced
sure.
with that hillside topography here in Cincinnati, quite extensive.
Right, and we occasionally work with families or in locations where it is not level, but it's the sunniest, best spot to grow food. And usually in form of terracing. You know, often in urban farming, you will find there is lead in the soil or something toxic there that will be taken up by the plants. So you're forced to build a raised bed anyways. Often a raised bed is built, you know, bordered by wood boards or timbers or stone. And those materials lend themselves very well to terracing. So you kind of create a garden that steps down. So you create level spaces, you know, within that hilly topography. And it's a wonderful way to grow. And, you know, if you look back, you know, in more, you know, more ancient societies, early civilization, they were often growing, you know, in terraced gardens along on hillsides. And it's beautiful.
And many countries still do that as well. Gene Nolan, organic gardener here on Cincinnati Edition, 419-7100, or email us, talk@wvxu.org. Dan from Northern Kentucky on the phone next. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Very well, sir. Question for Gene?
Well, I have a comment. My wife and I grow a little organic garden in Northern Kentucky. It's about 5,000 square feet. And she has about 8 or 10 rows of corn, and I have the same. She's found that when she puts down newspapers covered with grass clippings that we cut from our yard, she has very little wheat, and I am too lazy to cut the... So I have 8 or 10 rows of corn, and my corn has 100-to-1 weeds over hers.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And that is a great way to keep down weeds. And it's not too tough to do.
No,
so
well,
I think your wife's on,
I always
she's on
it
to
is
something.
Before we start.
Well, is there a danger of that, long as the grass has not been treated, as so many people like to, you know, treat their grass with chemicals?
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
would suppose there would be, but we don't use chemicals on our grass or anything on our yard.
So you're in the clear there, and you know, I think it's a matter of missing that window of time. Maybe next year you'll try to do that together a little earlier in the season.
That could be, but there's always a contest.
Oh, I know. I've got the same thing with my husband in our garden, so I understand it well.
Well, you've done a little experience. Well, thanks for your call, Dan. Appreciate it, and good luck with your corn. Maybe you'll keep up with your wife next year.
Well, yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Mark. Bye-bye, Gene.
Bye-bye.
You know, what is the greatest lesson you've learned in your years of organic gardening, Gene? I mean, you know, people have little tips and tricks they try that seem to work for them. What bit of magic have you found that you like so much?
Well, the first thing that popped into my head was a very general response, which was try again. You know, sometimes I'll do something, I'll plant some seed, and it doesn't come up, and there's a moment where I'm thinking, oh, I'm discouraged, and I think, well, I'm just going to plant it again. And I do, and it comes up, and it all works fine. So I think gardening is very forgiving, and that's why I think it doesn't need to be intimidating, although some people think of it that way. It's just something to get in there and try and do, and kind of like life. You try it one way, and then you try it another way, and you figure it out.
Have Michelle on the line with a question about a pest of a different type. Good afternoon, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there. I'm calling because we have a front yard garden with some vegetables that all do well, except the squirrels are getting our tomatoes. And I was wondering if you have any suggestions of how to keep squirrels out of the garden.
You faced fence-climbing rabbits, Jean. What do you have to suggest for squirrels?
So squirrels and chipmunks are tricky because they're very hard to fence out. you know, it's nearly impossible. So I recommend a few different things. There are some different sprays, and they're organic. You can make them yourself or purchase them. And they're made of things like garlic or hot peppers. And you can, you know, put this in a spray bottle. It's a concentrate, a garlic concentrate or a hot pepper spray, and spray it on the plants and on the fruit. And that can be a big help. I also know somebody who tried that, and that still didn't work. So do you know the plastic tubs that your cherry tomatoes or your blueberries come in?
Yes.
He started putting those around the fruit on his plants to protect them. So those are a couple ideas for you, you know, that are definitely worth trying. And you can buy the product Garlic Barrier, or you can make your own. Same with the hot pepper spray. They're pretty readily available.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Michelle, and thank you, Jean, for your time this afternoon. Greatly appreciate the book and the wisdom you imparted for organic gardening. Thank you.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Jean Nolan, founder of the Organic Gardener Limited, writer of the weekly blog Grow Your Own, and author of the new book From the Ground Up, A Food Grower's Education in Life, Love, and the Movement That's Changing the Nation. It's available where books are sold. More information about Jean and her work at WVXU.org. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7.